just a couple other prayer requests. Remember Nathan and Laura as they go out for their first meeting this weekend. Also, pray for David and Kim, who have been coming, and pray for a special work of God in their lives. We do want to pray especially for God's working on this Lord's Day. Remember praying for 11 souls to be saved and discipled. That's a challenge. Not only see somebody be saved, but discipled. I do have a very important unspoken request concerning the church. Would like you to pray about. Pray for Melissa, and pray for physical healing. Pray for a very important need in their family. And I would like to encourage you to pray for the upgrade fund and pray for the Lord to give us, locate us a good van. It really makes a difference to pray. And pray for Fran Wagner. His wife is has cancer and been suffering with cancer for many years, kind of at a difficult spot right now. And I saw him at the bank, and I said we would pray for her. So if you would pray for her, that would be a blessing. Yes, Thomas?
We're doing a Bible study with David and Kim that should make the gospel very clear with them. So.
Okay. I pray for that Bible study. Karen? Okay, pray for Mrs. Wagner. All right, let's turn in our Bibles now to, we're going to start off in the book of James. And tonight I'm going to have a very simple, practical message and how to have meaningful group prayer. How to have meaningful group prayer. Some principles of meaningful group prayer. These obviously apply to anything, but apply especially to prayer. James chapter 5. And verse number 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of course, it is not a part of the message, but it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Certainly, we have to realize that we have a duty before the Lord, before others, to be right with God, so that we can pray. And if there's unconfessed sin in our life, that will hinder our prayers and will keep us from being effective prayers. A simple note, we pray, you ought to make sure that you are right with the Lord. And confess your sins. I'd also like to say that is not really a part of the message, but you know when we'll see this as we're praying, as we're talking. The prayer group is not just formed by adults. And I want young people to be listening very carefully, children especially, about how to pray. If you make prayer just like a list that you pray, you are detracting from the prayer group. Because praying is not just talking about a list. We're meeting with God. And you're taking the time of adult people, and you're expecting them to pray with you. And so you need to take notes. Every child ought to take notes and think about what we're saying tonight. I probably won't preach this again, maybe in my lifetime, but need to be thinking about this. First of all, meaningful group prayer. How important is it to meaningful group prayer? Well, you know what? I am greatly blessed when I'm with a group of men that come to church to do business with God. And a prayer is a delight. And we sense in those situations, we sense that something's being accomplished for God. And in fact, sometimes when you have that kind of a group, you wish you don't have to change groups. Because you know that not everybody is as serious about praying as they ought to be. But I want to talk about five principles. First of all, the principle of fervency. Principle of fervency. You know, prayer is a spiritual thing. And fervency is speaking about energy. And it's not necessarily talking about human energy. It's talking about spiritual energy. You know, if you know, you can almost tell by the person's tone of voice if there's something fervent going on in their prayer time. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. It speaks of fervency, energy. There's a definite participation earnestly in that person's prayer. And you know they mean what they're praying about. Now, you teenagers, you need to think about this. Don't just pray something. Get in that prayer group and be right with God and pray like you're praying for something. Have some energy. That comes from God. And you know, every service, we ought to prepare our hearts for that service. You know, the sad thing is many times we don't prepare our hearts. We come to church Sunday morning, and we're out there, we're talking to everybody, and we're having a great time, and I like that. I like that people love one another. But we come to the church, and it's as though we're daring the preacher to get a hold of our heart, because we've done no preparing our heart for the preaching. Little preparing. To say, God, do something in my life. And you need to think about that. When we come to church, we ought to come to church for a purpose. And we ought to prepare our hearts. We ought to prepare our hearts for a prayer meeting. And I realize probably need to prepare our hearts for a prayer meeting more than any other service. You know why? Because we're in the midst of the busyness of life. And we can barely sometimes make it to church, right? And it's rush, 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 rush. And all of a sudden we come to church and we come to the most important meeting of the week. And instead of being ready for prayer, we're ready to collapse. We need to prepare ourselves. And we need to come, and we need to come with some... You know, when our kids were little... They used to have to take a nap on Wednesday night. They'd come home from school and we would make them take a nap. Because we knew that they wouldn't be able to sit through the service without sleeping. So we made them take a nap. You know, it's not, it's a bad message to give kids to say, well, go to church and nap during church. I know it happens, but not to prepare for a church, that's giving them that's giving them the wrong message. Hey, this is important. Now, maybe, you teenager, you need to take 5-10 minutes and get alone and get in the quiet and get your heart right with God. So when you come to prayer, you're ready to do business with God. It takes preparation. And that energy comes from the Lord. Spiritual energy. Now just think about it. Okay? Think about, do you enter prayer with lethargy or fervency? Now I'm not talking about made up fervency. I'm talking about something from the Lord. And that takes some preparation. There has to be some meeting with God. So there needs to be some fervency. You know, this isn't an afterthought. We didn't get together with our friends and we're going to chit-chat and tell a joke or two and talk about the world. Then, oh, well, I guess we better pray. Well, obviously, there's no fervency there. The second principle is the principle of accomplishment. The second principle is the principle of accomplishment. You know, throughout the Bible, we realize that when people called on the Lord, they called on the Lord to see God work. That's why they called on the Lord. And they called on the Lord for the Lord to answer. Now, I think of this number of places. First of all, I think of the armor of the believer. Ephesians 6. Take on the whole armor of God. And we're fighting. We're in a battle. We're wrestling against the devil. And it says, and last of all, what does it say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's one of the pieces of armor of the believer. But we can go through so many places in the Old Testament, and especially Psalms, and we can see where David prayed. And you know what? He was praying to see something accomplished. He just didn't blab a prayer for no reason at all. I think of Psalm 55. I love that psalm. But notice, he says, as for me, he said, I will call upon God. Verse 16, and the Lord shall save me. You know what? He expected that something was going to be accomplished by his prayer. And that there was going to be an answer. And because he prayed, God was going to save him. And this isn't talking about salvation here. It's talking about saving him from this enemy. And it was probably Absalom. It says, evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he said, and he shall hear my voice. You know, what kind of praying is he doing? He's praying to accomplish something. He's praying to accomplish something. You know, someone gives a request. When we pray, we're not just spouting off words. When we're praying to the fact and to the end that that request will be answered. We're praying to the effect that there is something definite in mind to take place. There's a sense of work. There's a sense of accomplishment. You know, your prayer group ought to have a definite sense of seeking to accomplish something. You ought to be able to say, you know, we're going to accomplish something tonight. We're going to look for there to be a definite answer to our prayer this Sunday. Or some other thing. But a definite answer. So there is a real group prayer is the group is has a sense of accomplishment. A sense of work, a sense of purpose, of something that they are seeking to have accomplished in prayer. The third principle is the principle of unity. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In the New Testament, we find that word one accord mentioned oftentimes with prayer. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Now look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. See the same word about accompanied prayer. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. What does that mean? Does that mean they have a rope that they're holding on to? No. What does that mean? That means that all of them are in unity about this prayer request. Everybody's in unity about that prayer request. Let me say a few things here. About that. That means, young person, that means when you pray, when or someone else is praying, you're not sitting there. You're not just loafing. You're not dreaming. You, in your heart, are praying with all your might with that person. That's what it means. Praying with one accord. Now, it also means when you pray, you need to speak up. Nobody can pray with you if you're mumble jumble or you got your head in your hands and nobody can hear what you're praying. This is group prayer. And you need to be praying with unity. And you need to be praying so others can pray with you. I do want to say that when you're talking about group prayer, there are some personal prayers, family prayers, that might be part of your routine prayer time. You don't pray at church. You don't pray those at church. You pray those in your family devotions. You're asking these people to join their hearts with you in these important prayers that have been presented. Unity. You know, that takes some concentration. That takes concentration of thinking about what they're praying about. That takes some concentration of in our heart, saying, amen, amen. In our soul, praying earnestly, fervently with that person. You know, this is group prayer. You know, lots of churches, if they do pray, a lot of churches practice. They have Wednesday service, have prayer requests, and then they just dismiss people one and twos, and they go and pray, and then they leave. And that's fine. But there's a lot more power in group prayer. There's a lot more power. The more people that can join their hearts together, one accord in prayer, there's more power there. And I reminded of that verse in Deuteronomy. Sorry, I can't quote it right now. But it talks about one will chase 100 and five a chase 1,000. What is it telling you? It's telling you there's more power in group prayer, in unity. That's why we pray in groups. And so you know what? You know, if you can't stay for prayer, I realize that, but you know, there's power in group prayer. There's a reason to pray in a group. Number three is principle group prayer, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 3, it talks about prayer. It talks about the fact that because of Christ, if we are saved, we have access to the Father in prayer. I always quote this verse wrong. I can't even find it right now. Okay, that's okay. Verse 18 of chapter 2. And through him, that's Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Here the Trinity is involved in prayer. We pray to the Father. We pray through the Son. And I do want to remind you that I think it might be, I think that it is proper most of the time that when we pray, we preface our prayer that we're praying in Jesus' name. He's the one that gives us access to the Father. We don't just assume that God hears our prayer. We're going through the Lord Jesus. But notice it says, by one Spirit. That means that in prayer, really, the Spirit of God is the one who leads us in what to pray for, how to pray for, when to pray. It's through the Spirit. We have to be walking in the Spirit so we can hear His voice. In group prayer, it's important that we look to the Lord as to what we should pray for. There ought to be a sense that we're looking to the Lord, say, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? You know, you can pray a list, and that list might be perfect, but I think we need to have a consciousness and say, Lord, is this, what do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? We need to be led of the Spirit of God. That's why it's sometimes better sometimes it makes you have to look to the Lord a little bit more in your prayer if you don't go around in a circle. If you go around in a circle, people are just waiting for their turn. But if you don't go around in a circle, then you should be, instead of just, my turn, I'm going to pray. No, you should be looking to the Spirit of God what to be praying for. And if you look to the Spirit of God what you should pray for, then other people can pray with you in unity. It's all a part of group prayer. And of course, faith. Faith. Whatsoever ye ask, believing. Matthew 21:22. We need to pray in faith. We need to consider God's ability. Answer prayer. We need to consider God's glory in answered prayer. We need to consider God's will when we pray. We need to pray in faith. And again, this is a spiritual exercise between us and the Lord. I encourage you to seek to make your prayer with your prayer group meaningful. Go to that group with a sense that we got something accomplished tonight. Listen to these requests. Write them down. Let the Spirit of God take those requests and put it a burden on your heart. Get a sense of the ministry that, do you know what? We want something to happen in this church on Sunday. And so get that sense of purpose. Get that fervency. And if there's sin in your life, boy, it's going to take away that fervency, let me tell you. You got to get that sin confessed. And seek to have a sense of, hey, we're in this together. I remember we had a especially good prayer group with Mr. Eka, and I don't know how long ago that was, and right before we'd get to pray, we'd say, okay, now, we'd say, perhaps I would say, what do you sense that God wants to do? What we ought to pray about? And maybe it would be one person that we really sense that this is what we ought to pray about. Maybe it was something that was presented in the prayer request, and we latched onto that. We're going to seek to, in many cases, Sunday was exciting to see, okay, how God's going to answer that prayer. And so these are some important principles about group prayer because group prayer is so important, and it can be a very significant part. I'm sure everybody who mentioned these requests tonight, they mention them because they know that only God can do what needs to be done. So, let's have prayer. Father, thank you for your time, for your word. Thank you for this time that we can look at the importance of prayer and to be helped. And Lord, improve our prayer time. Grow us in our prayer groups that we, Lord, would accomplish what we need to accomplish for you, even as we come to church on Wednesday night. And pray that would permeate our whole church in Jesus' name. Amen.